This episode is brought to you by George Foreman's Knockout Pain Relief. Welcome to The Last Storm. My name is Mark Flatt, and I'm calling in from the Pocono Mountains in Pennsylvania. Today, as always, I'm joined by my brother Dave. He's calling in from Maryland at the banks of the Potomac River. Thanks for joining us. Here we go.
Last night was 131 to 110. Obviously, there's a lot of things that could have gone differently and could have gone better. I look at Shea's 37 points and 10 assists. Also, I think he had like 7 rebounds and 3 steals. Fucking phenomenal by Shea last night, doing what he does. But again, 131 to 110, that's a 21-point loss right there. That was a tough to swallow one.
Yeah, it really stinks because of the game that SGA put up, which was masterful in so many ways. I mean, 37 points, bro, on 16 shots. Think about that. 12 of 16 from the field. He did it all. He shot 75% from the field, 3 of 3 from deep, shot 10 of 14 from the free throw line. So, you know, he could have had 40 if he just knocked down those, 41. No problem there. It's just the rest of it, you know what I mean? Plus 10 assists. Plus 7 steals, plus, I mean, 3 steals and 7 rebounds. Like you said, dude, the only thing about his game that was a little bit off was he picked up his 5th foul early in the third quarter. And, like, if you get that many fouls early in the third, obviously foul trouble's been haunting you all game. But he definitely stopped playing as aggressive on the defensive end, which you have to do. But I think it might have also affected how strong he drove the ball to the hole. But, I mean, 37 points, it's not like anything bad happened. It just, we didn't win the game, and that's the bummer.
Yeah, and we did such a great job on defense on Sabonis. Got him in foul trouble. Made shots difficult for him. Yeah, he, you know, hit 7 for 8 for 14 points, but I still felt like the way that we played defense on him is right up there with how we need to play defense on all big men going forward. And it's what we've been seeing a lot recently is the collapse. That helps the you know, slip around and get the steals. I mean, there's so many things that we are able to do on a nightly basis against you know, other good big men. So it was encouraging to see what we did against Sabonis. Obviously, Fox and Barnes and Lyles, they all went off 20 point plus points each. That was rough to see, but I felt like we did a phenomenal job on Sabonis and what we needed to do to keep the game close for most of the game.
Yeah, Trey Lyles, 24 points on 14 shots. That's rough. You know, he comes in, he starts, he's not used to starting. And, you know, that was a difficult thing. And then on top of that, Aaron Wiggins, he only played the first half because he turned his ankle. It looked like he was grabbing toward the high ankle. So that's a real bummer. What did you see with that, Dave?
Man, that's the problem with leg injuries like that. It looks like a high ankle injury. It could be a tendon. You know, we've seen freak accidents happen where, you know, guys break bones. So I really hope it's just a sprained ankle, like you said, a high ankle sprain. But I didn't like the non-movement happening with his knee. If you notice that when he was limping off and being helped off the floor, there was no movement on his knee. And it's kind of concerning because a lot of times you get a sprained ankle, you know, it's leading up to something more serious. So let's just hope it's a sprained ankle. I know he's had issues with the ankle before, correct? This is not the first time he's sprained it this season.
Yeah, exactly. So maybe I don't know which ankle, but
yeah, something needs to happen with Wiggins. This is probably one on his scouting report is one of the reasons why he was, you know, left in the second round was weak ankles. So I'm sure the Oklahoma City Thunder staff is going to do a great job at rehabbing him and getting him ready for next season.
Yeah, we're obviously getting low on games, so hopefully we get him back this year and he can continue to improve. But he's been awesome this year for us. And
what a pleasant surprise with him, right? You know, like I didn't expect at all this from Wiggins to end up becoming one of our everyday starters in the long run.
Yeah, so it's been amazing. It's been a real surprise and breath of fresh air on the defensive end. He constantly is out there defending, and he's still learning, so there's going to be mistakes. But I thought he played a really good game. His main job today was guarding Fox, and so he knocked down a 3 on top of, you know, playing good defense. But after that, for the second half, we brought in Vit Krejci, And Veet was really good. I like him in the starting lineup. I think he's developing some chemistry with SGA. He's really good at cutting to the basket. He's got really good timing on tip outs, and he finds himself in the middle of a lot of things, which is really nice to see. So 10 points today for him. He also got 5 rebounds and 2 assists. So 1 steal on top of all that. So I thought he did good. I'm excited about the way he's playing. He's another rookie for us that, you know, can play at a high level.
I like Vit a lot. I think that the way he's playing, he's earning a spot for next year. And that's something, because there's a lot of these players that I look at and like, okay, is this player going to be with us next year? Is this player going to be with us next year? But I look at Vit, and he needed to step up, and he's playing really well. He's showing glimpses. He's not afraid to take that 3-point shot. Like you said, 10 points, but he was 0 for 6 on 3-pointers. If he starts hitting that shot, Mark, it's over. Like, there's no doubt in my mind. The way that he moves, the smoothness of his, running up and down the court, understanding the game. I saw there was a play the other day that he got knocked out of the play on offense, and he was on the baseline, and he sprinted back on defense, was able to help get a stop. These are the things that are really good, because you see these young men that get knocked out of a play completely, and then they just jog back. Hopefully they can get a cherry pick, you know, but that was not Vit. He ran back really hard, got back, and helped get a stop. So I like the hustle. I like his mentality, and it goes along with everything that we have. A guard that's 6 foot, what, 7+? Is he 6'9"? I mean, he looks huge.
He looks like he's 6'9" when he's out there. I don't know what he's listed as, but I don't really care. Like, some players just play bigger than their height, you know, on paper, and he's one of those guys. Like, I've seen him play before, but he definitely looks like a forward out there, and he plays guard.
And, you know, tonight we saw a really strange matchup or lineup out there. We saw 2 7-footers at one time on the court. We saw Poku, Sar, Lindy Waters, Vit Krejci, and Shea and Trey were moving back and forth. I like this because Lindy Waters is, they list him as a forward. He's like 6'6", 6'7", 6'8", something like that. Vit Krejci is a big, tall guy. You know, obviously Shea and Trey Mann are taller. Then you got Poku and Sar, 7-footers, man. It was great to see how these guys were able to play out there. It was when we went on our big run. I felt like we did a great job in that third quarter to get a lead, a 9-point lead. But this is the team that was out there. I felt like it was great to see how Poku was playing. He had 9 points, 1 for 5 on 3-pointers, and 4 for 12 on shots, 4 rebounds, 4 offensive rebounds, 4 defensive rebounds for 8, 5 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks. He was just playing really outstanding. 26 minutes, and he was rewarded for that because, again, you saw these Sar, Poku, and Krejci out getting some minutes in that fourth and third quarter that were huge minutes, and it was really awesome to see how these guys played.
Yeah, Poku played really good, and he's another player that's developing really good chemistry with SGA. We found Shea found him on a oop. We've seen that a couple of times now, and he also found him under the bucket for a dunk. Teo had a big game too. He played 10 minutes less than Vit, so he only played 19 minutes because he didn't come in and start the second half, but he shot 3 for 9 from the field, 2 for 6 from deep. To me, this was probably his best game that I've seen in quite a while. 9 points, so it wasn't like that was where it came from, but he played under control. He played really fast. He got the ball moving, and he got to where he wanted. He got 1 rebound, 4 assists, and 3 steals. There was a 3. We were down by 6 in the third quarter, and he knocked down a 3, and they waved it off on a moving screen from Bazley. It was probably a bullshit call, but in the end, that was a moment where it was like, if we had taken that out of the net, or if they had taken that out of the net and we moved forward, you know, I felt like we were going to be in it. But the game just kind of, you know, fell apart after that point. Just a really difficult third quarter for us. And then going into the fourth, we never found our way back into it. But I really liked what I saw from these young guys off the bench. You mentioned Lindy Waters. He went 1 for 3 from deep. That was all his shots. And he kicked in 3 rebounds. Good game from these young guys off the bench.
Yeah, and Olivier Sarr, 26 minutes last night, most minutes as a Thunder player. He had 12 points and 4 rebounds. And I got to say this, is that when he was out there, he did not seem like a 7-footer running around. Super nimble, super agile. This guy is somebody that I could see with the Oklahoma City Thunder for a while because he fits that small body, big man that we typically want with the fast feet. So again, he's 7 foot, but he plays much smaller because he's so quick. He understands the game, and I kind of like it. I mean, you hear somebody say a big man's playing smaller than his size, and that's typically not a good thing. But with this Oklahoma City Thunder offense, it is, because if you have a big man with slow feet and it always taking up space, it does nothing good for our offense. So having a big man play smaller means that we can get around, we can pass the ball around, and he shot and hit a three-pointer tonight. He was 1 for 2, 12 points, like I said, and 4 rebounds. So phenomenal night by Olivier Assar.
Yeah, and he had a couple of alley-oops, or at least one I can remember for sure, that went in, but he missed one. He had another dunk he should have gotten and one on. He loves finishing around the rim. He loves finishing with the dunk. He loves yelling after he gets a big dunk. And then he'll get out and knock down the three. So, that, like you said, this is really good, especially, you know, being a G League player, earning that two-way contract, and then putting up 12 points on the main team. You got to love it, man. You got to love it from this young guy.
You know, and looking at the starters, we already talked about Wiggins. We talked about Shea. But the rest of the guys, I felt like, stepped up in a big way, recognizing where we needed to get the help from. We saw Bazley stepping up, giving Shea a bunch of really great screens. You saw Isaiah coming up and helping out the double screen a few times. These are all things, you know, staggered screen. Isaiah did a phenomenal staggered screen where Bazley came up and set a screen. Shea comes off of it. And, you know, right away, there was Isaiah right there. A nice little stagger. The defender didn't see him and got open for Shea for, I don't know if it was a jump shot up or a layup. It was just a phenomenal play by Isaiah to recognize it. Don't need a double screen. He didn't need a double screen. He needed something that was going to be a little bit more finesse in that situation. So again, understanding how the teams are playing, understanding how the defense is playing is really big. And Isaiah did a phenomenal night understanding. 20 minutes, 8 points, 1 assist, 2 steals, 1 block, 4 rebounds, one of which was offensive, 4 for 4 on free throws. He did everything we needed for him for the night. I know 8 points, people will say, well, that's not what we need from a center in the NBA. But what we needed him to do tonight was play defense on Sabonis, limit Sabonis' shots, and make everything difficult. And he did perfect job on that.
Yeah, and I would say that at different times he looked frustrated because things weren't going his way on the offensive end. But he stayed consistent, and, you know, things were started to happen. But if you look at what we got from the bench, bro, we got, 43 points from the bench, I think?
Yep.
And we're looking at the starters, and we got 37 from Shea. So you look at it and you're like, well, where can we get better? First of all, obviously, we don't want to give up 131 points, so that's an easy one. But from a scoring perspective, you got Wiggins, who only played 10 minutes but only 3 points, Bazley with 8 points, and Roby with 8 points, and Trey Mann with 11. That's kind of where we have to find the next level of kick, but it's not going to happen overnight. But these guys, they're playing really high level on defense, but figuring out what it's going to take for them to put us over the edge, if we're going to win this game on offense, is going to be really important. Like you said, Roby did everything we needed him to against Sabonis. If he, you know, can in any way neutralize Sabonis, which he did in a big way, because Sabonis was in foul trouble first half. He was always on his mind in the second half. I felt like Roby did what we needed him to do there. And Bazley, defensively, I thought he was pretty good too, although he got caught kind of in no man's land a few times. He was still able to pick up 2 blocks and a steal. And so you got to like what he did overall there. In total, 8 points for Bazley, 3 of 6 from the field, 1 of 4 from deep, 2 rebounds, 2 assists. So, you know, Bazley contributed, but what's it going to take for us to get over the hump? I mean, is it that 40-point game from Trey Mann that I keep asking for? Is it some of these other guys putting up 20-point games? I'm not exactly sure. Maybe it happens on the defensive end because, you know, we're sort of uncharacteristically giving up a lot of different points in ways that we're not used to, like 14 points on the fast break. That's not usual. 10 points a second chance, that's probably below our average. I'm not exactly sure off the top of my head. But there's
It's below average playing against Sabonis.
Okay, there you go. But, yeah, Sabonis was – he didn't – this was not a good game for him, I don't think. I think he was a bit frustrated. He did get 16 rebounds, so you got to give him props there. But I really liked what we did. It just, the only thing is we lost, right? We lost, and that stinks. So if you look at it like, hey, Shea put up 37 and a loss, you know, it's all negative. But if you look at it and say, okay, what did we see from this roster? How do we see the progression, and where do we see the direction that they're going? It's all positives, bro. Like, it really is. And Trey Mann was a big part of that.
Yeah, and you can't help but take it as positive. Again, we've talked about this so many times on this podcast. If we were in the process of competing, these are the games that it really stings. But you have to take a step back and have to recognize that we don't have three of our main players playing right now. And this is what's going to happen until we're healthy. Josh Giddey is somebody that we need on this team. Shea can go off for 30-something points, but having Josh on that team to create another 30-plus points by passing and by getting the open guys, it creates us to be back in this game. And I look at this every single time that we play against a team like Sacramento, and these are games that we need to start winning, but not right now. You know, I'm cool with being three games behind Sacramento right now and a game behind Indiana, because we're not in a hurry right now. Like, to me, like, if we get a better draft pick, awesome. If we win 12 games before the season's over, even better, because that means that things are clicking, that the guys are getting healthy. So I don't really care if we're ending at spot number 4 or if we're ending at spot number 9. And it's only 5 different spots. And Mark and I continuously say this, is that would it matter? Is it going to really, truly matter who Sam's going to pick at 4 or number 9? And that's where it comes back and forth with, is because if Sam truly wants that number 4 pick and he's sitting at number 9, then there's one thing he can do, and he can trade. And 4 to 9 is not hard to get to. And that's the thing about it. With all the draft picks that we have and everything else that we have this year, I look at Sam and I understand what's happening. And that's why, to me, if we stay at number 4, I'm cool with. If we drop to number 9, again, it doesn't fucking matter to me. So
yeah,
I'm just excited about being able to watch basketball and see what happens. In every game, it's a blank slate. I don't think that Coach C is going out there and trying to lose games. I don't think these players are trying to lose games. I think they're trying to go out there and do what they can. And it's fun to see.
Yeah, it is. And you have to, like, wonder, when you take a step back and you look at a game like this, you think, what would have it been like if we had Dort, you know, out there defensively? It would have been a different game. We saw him seal a game last year with a steal on Fox, and we know that he creates issues there. And then, you know, what would have happened if we had Josh Giddey out there? You know, in a big way, that's the biggest question, right? I think this game is played differently with Giddey out there. Obviously, we know what Dort brings, so we don't have to imagine. We're pretty sure what he would do there, but what would the game look like to you if Josh Giddey was out there?
You know, I watched what Shea did tonight. It would not have affected the way Shea played. It would have just moved Shea slightly over, and Shea did a lot of his scoring from the wing anyways and driving to the middle. I don't think it would have affected Shea's game. What would have done is would have opened up the court for everybody else. I think you would have seen Isaiah Roby with 14, 16 points. I think you would have seen Baisley with a couple more open shots. I don't know if he would have hit them, but he would have been open. I think you would have had Trey Mann, you know, probably have 18, 19 points as well. These are the guys that benefit mostly from Josh Giddey. So, to be honest, like, the game would have been a completely different game. Like, you know, we're watching the production of Shea last night, and what would have been like would have been like the production of Shea and Giddey. You know, Shea would have gone off for 35 plus points. And Josh would have had, you know, close to his triple double and with, you know, 14, 13 points. So again, I don't know, man, like, to me, having Josh and Dort, we win by 15. So,
yeah, I mean, like you said, it's okay. Like, we're not all about winning right now. We understand that, like, we're trying to compete at a high level for 4 quarters, and that's what we're looking for. But here's what I keep coming, like, back to, is, like, last year at this point, we were sitting SGA. So because of that, because of his injury, like, we were in full-blown roster exploration mode. And while we are somewhat in that still, you can see how deep we can go. And that's good. I also look at it and I wonder, are we in chemistry building mode right now as much as roster explanation mode?
Yeah, I absolutely we are. And chemistry exploration is something that has to happen at this moment. And you watch what our defense is doing, and you kind of recognize it when you're looking at teams, let's just say, you know, 8 through 14, something like that. Those teams right there is really who we're comparing our stuff to. So if you look at, you know, how many points a game that we're allowing, we're one of the lowest at that in that level. So to me, I'm looking at this and the chemistry is big, yes, but really how we play defense is bigger. The chemistry is going to come because whether these guys play, you know, 365 for the next, you know, couple of years, that chemistry will come. But it's the defensive prowess that really scares me that a lot of teams aren't able to get. And if you're looking at these Detroit teams or this Houston team that's giving up 117 points a game, and you're looking at us is that we're 108 points a game, it's way more encouraging seeing that than, you know, impeccable chemistry out there.
So what happened to our defense tonight?
Dude, did you see all the shots that were going in? I mean, like, sometimes you just get outshot. It doesn't matter how close you are. It doesn't matter any of that stuff. And Trey Lyles went off. DeAndre Fox went off.
You got to give Barnes Trey Lyles a lot of credit.
You know, like, what are you going to do to stop that? You have guys that are your best defenders that are injured. If you had Aaron Wiggins out there, you would be good. But you don't have Wiggins. You don't have Kenny Hustle. And you don't have Dort, which are our three-headed monster for defenders. So, of course, you're going to have trouble playing defense on these guys. I think that's exactly what happened. Like, we did everything right on the offensive side to get the win, but our defense couldn't stop the players that our best defenders typically guard.
So in a way, like, you know, for defense, it's a lot about finding the right pieces and then building chemistry. Like, we could be in a position where we're still looking for that, you know, fourth wing defender, which, you know, you can use your best three usually. But you get to a point where a team has two good bench guards, you have to go four deep on defense there. And I wonder who that will be. Is it going to be Trey Mann? You think so?
Dude, look at what he does. Look at his steals. Like, I had to go back and look at all the stuff that he's done on defense recently. And, you know, his rookie year is littered with 2, 3, 4 steals here and there. Like, his defensive knowledge and the way that he gets up the court and the way that he understands and the quickness that he has, to me, without blinking, I feel like it's Trey Mann as that fourth wing defender. Whether he's playing the shooting guard or the small forward, to me, he's one of those guys that creates a very unique disadvantage on defense for us.
So, is he going to take the other team's best offensive player going forward now that Wiggins at least appears to be out, and there's other guys we don't know when they're going to come back, or who else are we going
to
put on that?
Who else are you going to ask to go out there as a defender and do that? To me, it's Trey Mann to see what he can do. It's saying, hey, Trey, I know this is not part of what we wanted you to do this season, but I need to know how well you can play defense.
I mean, that's what I keep wondering. Like, who is going to put being a defensive stopper as their primary, you know, objective every time they get out on the court? Because whoever does that is going to earn a lot of minutes. And it might be Krejci. That could be something that he steps into that role. Although I see somewhat of a timidness right now, maybe a lack of confidence in his knees at this point, maybe just, you know, getting adjusted to the NBA game. But I'm looking for that player that just goes out there and lays it all out on the line and forces their way into the lineup even after we get back to full strength.
Well, if you're talking about that as a player that's going to force themselves into this lineup, you know, I have to say, I keep going back to Vit, and it's very easy to go back to Vit. He's right there. He's playing a lot of minutes, and for good reason. But, man, I look at the way Lindy Waters plays, right? And I see the vibe that the Oklahoma City Thunder fans give with him. You know, he's listed as a 6'6 forward, but he doesn't play like a forward out there. He plays like a guard. And to me, I look at Lindy Waters, and I secretly get excited about the possibility that he could stay here in Oklahoma City for a very long time. if he can continue to play at this high level that he has exhibited the few games and the few minutes that he's been able to get here, I feel like he could be one of those guys that steps up and is that kind of Kendrick Williams replacement of sorts, you know, like a forward that can play guard, that's in your face, that can knock down the jump shot, that can get the crowd fired up and is emotional. I look at Lindy's Waters as being that one player that I think that could go from a nobody beginning of the season, and as far as in the NBA, a nobody, to being on the team and everybody recognizes who he is. So that's who I look at as being the player that could most benefit from our injuries right now.
Yeah, I love it, man. Like, you know, players at this level, they don't really go out and just change their game, but they can make different things like a priority and a focus. And if he decided that he wanted to be a top level defender and take on the toughest assignment every night, and we've already seen that he can knock down the three. So if that became part of his game, he could legit be a 3-and-D level player. We love those guys. And you force your way into the lineup if you can defend at a high level. He's big, but he moves like a guard. So I feel like he can defend, you know, either the two or the three. And that's usually where the other team's best scorers are anyway. So,
man, I say even put him at the power forward too. He's not a typical 6'6 guy. I mean, he's 215 pounds. So yeah, he's need to put on a little bit more weight to play power forward. But if you're talking about a fourth wing out there and somebody that can play the power forward position to help this team and yet hit down the shots, man, you don't need to look much further than Lindy Waters. Like, this is the perfect opportunity to have a fourth guard out there like Lindy is.
Yeah, I mean, I'm telling you, I think you're onto something there. Like, I've been thinking about it and I hadn't thought about him, but you've got to be hungry. You know, you've got to decide that you're willing to do whatever it takes to stick around in the NBA, and that starts on the defensive end for 99% of the players. So it's not something that's unique. It's just something that if he decides to do, he can separate himself, and next thing you know, we've got another 3-and-D guy.
Yeah, and these are small numbers. He's only played in six games this season, averaging 9.2 minutes a game. But at home, he's shooting 40%. From three-point range at home. Only 33% on the road. And again, small numbers. So it's nothing to get really, really excited about. But we're definitely putting him out there to have minutes. 9.2, like I said, a game. We're giving him shots. He put up 8 points against the win in Indiana in the 24 minutes that he played. So he's exhibiting things that we like. Again, we don't know if he's going to be on our team at the end of the year, because we don't know who's going to be on our team at the end of the year. We could say we hope this entire team comes back next year, but we know better than that because we've seen what happens in the offseason, and there's always teams that are trying to add players. And you know what? I'm all for it because this is going to be exciting. And in no way do I think the Oklahoma City Thunder is going to get into any type of deal that doesn't benefit them now and in the future, which is great because a lot of teams are just looking to get better right now, or they're trying to rebuild for the future. But Sam Presti has his eyes on both sides of the court there.
And it's awesome. You know, it was awesome that we stood pat at the trade deadline. You know, we made the deals that we needed to improve our future, like you said. Like, we found a way to make that deal with Miami. And I love it, man. I love what we're doing. I love the way that the team feels. Would have loved to get the win tonight, but I understand that this is just how it goes right now. We're in the rebuilding mode, and there's going to be a lot of ups and downs, but, you know, we shouldn't forget that SGA put up a 37-point night, his third 30-plus point game in a row. He's been on a tear since he's been back, and if we had Giddy out there with him, giving him some support, it would have been a different story. So you got anything else to add, Dave?
Yeah, man, real quickly, if you guys want some more information on Lindy Waters, he has this article that was written in 2019, February 8th, 2019. It really talks about him as a Cowboy and how he got to Oklahoma State. It is really good information. It really gives you a good understanding of who Lindy Waters is. All you got to do is go to ESPN, go to Oklahoma City Thunder, go to the roster, click Lindy Waters, and then scroll down, and it'll show you an article there about him. So definitely check him out. Definitely worth looking at.
Awesome. And Dave, you should tell us more about that tomorrow, because I'd love to know more about him. So awesome. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you tomorrow. And as always, this episode was brought to you by George Foreman's Knockout Pain Relief.